Bible to page 882 to follow today's reading from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Well, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead mean to you? I mean, really, personally, what does it mean to you, this report that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead? The indisputed facts are that there was a professional execution on that Friday conducted by Roman soldiers who were very, very expert at putting people to death, and Jesus was pronounced dead on the spot. Also, Jesus was placed in the tomb that Friday. It was sealed and guarded by soldiers. And then there was an empty tomb on Sunday morning. These are the undisputed facts of events that happened in that weekend. There is a lot of evidence for the historical reality of the resurrection. Lots of different kinds of evidence. And that's not my main focus here today, but I'll just mention a few of the points. One is the fact that it was women who were amongst the chief witnesses of the resurrection who saw the empty tomb first. Why is that particularly evidence? Well, in that time, a woman's testimony was not worth the same as a man's. They were considered to be less reliable. Their testimony was less valid. If someone had made this story up, they would not have had women as the first witnesses of the resurrection. Secondly, there is the grave clothes that were lying there in the tomb. And I won't go into it in detail, but we hear in the Gospels that Jesus was anointed with a very large quantity of spices and oils, and then he was wrapped up in cloths. And if you were a grave robber and you were stealing a body, you wouldn't take all the effort in the middle of the dark to unwrap the body and leave all the clothes behind and take a slippery naked body away. You just grab the whole lot and run. It's completely inconsistent with the idea of grave robbing that they would have left the grave clothes behind. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Another thing which Paul mentions is that there were more than 500 witnesses, many of whom were still alive when he was writing, who saw the risen Lord Jesus after his resurrection. There was also the fact of the guarded tomb, that if robbers had tried to go in there and take this body away, they would have had the problem of the soldiers, and there was never a report from the soldiers that, you know, someone came in the night to disrupt them. And also, no one ever produced the body. No one ever was able to say, "Look, here is the body of Jesus. He really is dead." But what I want to speak with you is not so much the evidence for the resurrection as the meaning of the resurrection. And we learn about the meaning of the resurrection through the writing of the apostles, who were witnesses to the resurrection, and they explain what it meant to them that Jesus was risen from the dead. Sometimes when people present the Christian gospel, they emphasize the cross of Christ, which is appropriate, that he died for our sins, that he took upon himself the sins of the world. But sometimes we don't fully grasp the importance and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead as part of that message. It's a key part of the message of Jesus who died on the cross for us, the fact that he was raised from the dead. And it's important also to understand that there have been others raised from the dead too in history. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and there's accounts in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Scriptures as well. And from time to time we hear of quite credible stories of people being raised from the dead too in mission contexts and so on. But there was something very distinctive about Jesus being raised from the dead. This is different from just a resuscitation of a dead person back to life. Far more significant. And I want to mention five key points about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Five key meaning points of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ actually means. And the first one is a vindication. This was a legal issue, a justification issue. Jesus was found guilty at what Donald Trump might have called a fake trial. It was a false trial. It was a false finding of guilt. He was crucified unjustly. There was a blot against his name. He was written down as a criminal. And in 1 Timothy, Paul quotes from an early Christian hymn, and it says in that hymn that he was revealed in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among Gentiles, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. And I think when it says that he was vindicated, the word in Greek is justified. He was found innocent because of the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead actually declared Jesus innocent. It corrected the injustice. The miscarriage of justice was overthrown when Jesus was raised from the dead. And the second meaning of the resurrection is the revelation of the power of God for us to live our lives. A revelation of a power of God to work in us in the present, in our current lives. Paul speaks about this in a number of places. For example, Romans 6, verses 4 to 6. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So Jesus was raised so that we could walk, we could live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, that is, if we've given up our rights to our own life, if we've agreed to lay our lives down to follow Jesus, if we've died to ourselves with Jesus Christ, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So he's speaking about the resurrection of the dead to come, but he's also speaking about the present, because he says we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. So Paul is saying that that power that was in us, the power of sin, has actually been broken. And the proof of that is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. There's a power at work in us to transform us that is the same power that raised Jesus to life. So that's a lot of power. And then he says in Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 19, he says, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, he's praying that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. And he's speaking in this passage about the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work within us. That is our inheritance. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the demonstration by God of the power that is at work in those who believe. And this is incredibly comforting and very, very positive for us, because often we feel overwhelmed. We often feel we cannot manage. We often feel that we've messed up so much that we just can't be the people that God calls us to be. But the fact is that there's a power much greater than ourselves, a power that comes from the power of Christ himself. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you confess with your lips that Christ is Lord, if you believe that he died for you and that he was raised for you, then that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you to bring life to you, to bring transformation in your life. And nothing in principle, nothing can stand against that power. It's an incredible power. And so Paul wanted his hearers to understand this. This is the second meaning of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The first is that Jesus was justified. He was declared innocent by his resurrection from the dead. The second is there is a manifestation of the power of God that God wants us to live in, that's at work in our hearts, in our lives, in our souls, to transform us, to set us free from the power of sin, to enable us to live a changed life. And the resurrection of Jesus is the demonstration of that power for you, that you're not just on your own. Often we try and live it on our own. We think we can fix ourselves. We try all these disciplines and all these ways, but you cannot save yourself. Only Jesus can save us. And his resurrection is the demonstration of the reality of that power. Now then we have the third point, and this is a revelation of the defeat of evil. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians 15, which is the wonderful declaration of the meaning of the resurrection. And towards the end of this, Paul speaks about how the power of death has been destroyed, verses 54 to 57. When this perishable body, our physical body, puts on imperishability, when this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying we have a victory over death and a victory over sin. So these great enemies, really, of human flourishing, death and sin, sin that brings death as well, these have been defeated through the cross. And the resurrection is the proof positive of that incredible victory. Paul also writes about it in the book of Romans as well. He refers to it indirectly, speaking of the consequence of this power at work in us. This is Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So Paul is saying that the power of God, by the power of God, you will crush evil under your feet. We have authority over evil and over the powers of darkness, authority over death. And we know this is true because Jesus has been raised from the dead. So that's the third point. There is the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof of the defeat of evil, demonic powers, Satan, and also the defeat of death. And this is our inheritance, this is our legacy. It's also, Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 6, it's also the proof of our future resurrection. The Bible speaks about this in a number of different ways. Sometimes Jesus is called the first fruits of those who will be raised from the dead. He's like the first ripe apple on the tree of the resurrection of the dead. So how do we know that we will be raised from the dead? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. And the teaching of the scriptures is that after when we die, there is a period of a sleep, a soul sleep, if you like, and then the last trumpet will sound and we'll be raised with new bodies in a new world, a new creation. And how do we know this is true? Because Christ was raised from the dead. Because 500 witnesses saw that he was raised from the dead. And this is important to understand the Christian hope, that in the life to come, the life of the world to come, it's not like disembodied spirits passing through walls. We'll be very huggable. We will have bodies. We'll be raised with a physical body in a new heavens and a new earth. This world is passing away. This is not the final destination as a world of our identity. There is another world that is to come. In fact, Paul says that all of creation is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see this fulfillment that is to come. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the followers of Jesus were very clear about that, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the proof or the demonstration that we who trust in Christ will be raised to eternal life. And finally, another meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is that we can know him as someone who's alive and not just as a dead person. That Jesus is alive today. And there's a beautiful verse that speaks about this in Hebrews 7, verse 25. He's speaking about the priests in the past that died and they passed away. But he said, Jesus Christ, eternally a priest for us, he is able for all time to save those who approach God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is able to save us forever because he's always alive, because he is alive. Our gardener, Ali, is an Iranian guy, and he was badly beaten up by the regime and went into a coma for many weeks. When he came out, he was paralyzed on one side of his body. And it was a year or so after this, when he was asleep, that the Lord Jesus came to him in a vision. And he cried out the name of Jesus, and when he woke up, his body was hot. He reached out for some water, found he could lift it. He didn't realize he could use that arm. And then he got up and he was shouting and dancing because the Lord healed him. And Ali's English is really bad. It's not good at all. And he wanted one year to mow the lawn on a particular day. So he'll give me an SMS. He says, can I cut grass today? And I said, I'm sorry, it's Good Friday. Jesus dies today. And he said, no, Jesus is alive forever. He was right. He was right. You know, in the early church, one of the evidences for the resurrection is the demons feared the name of Jesus. And Tertullian said, one of the church fathers, he said, demons don't fear dead people. Jesus is alive. The name of Jesus is powerful. And the fact that Jesus is alive raises some really interesting questions for us. It means you can have a real relationship with Jesus because he is alive. It means that he is interceding for you. He's concerned for you. It means you can reach out to him and have a personal relationship with him. But in order to do that, you need to know him. And if you don't know him, I'd really love to introduce you to him, and there'd be others as well. Actually, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know that he's alive, during this next song, and if you'd like to come up, I'd love to pray with you and introduce you to him and introduce him to you. I'd love to do that. But before we do that, I want to take a moment just to dwell on this question. Do you know him? Do you really know him? One of my favorite preachers goes by the name of Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. That's a wonderful name, isn't it? Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. And he preached a sermon about 40 years ago. And he asked this question. He asked this question, the most important question that you can ask. Do you know
him? There are approximately 2 billion heartbeats in the human lifespan.
And the human mind processes, on average, 47,000 thoughts in a single day.
There are approximately 2 billion heartbeats in the human lifespan.
And the human mind processes, on average, 47,000 thoughts in a single day.
Over 17 million a year and over 1 billion in a lifetime.
That's hundreds of millions of questions in a human mind.
Of those questions, these three
resound.
Who am I?
Why am I here?
Where do we come from? These three questions led to an even bigger question.
These three questions led to an even bigger question.
A question that answers all questions.
A question that answers all questions.
All questions.
Do you know him? The Bible says my king is a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, for yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Do you know him? Do you know him? If you'd like to know him and you don't know him, I'd love to pray with you. I'm just going to be over here during the time of worship, and I'd love to introduce you to him and ask him to make himself known to you. Let's stand. We're going to give thanks for the risen Lord.
Lord, we just want to offer all our praise to you here. We just want to come as empty vessels, seeking you, Lord. We want to know you, Father. Let's sing the moon. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Sing one final breath. One final breath he gave. As heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high. Forever he is risen, he is alive.
We're going to take this from the top.
He is alive.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen.
Sing it out. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse
above the ground. The ground began to shake. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeat.
Sing it out forever.
Forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive.
Sing forever.
Oh, forever He is glorified.
You are glorified. We're going to sing. We sing hallelujah.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah.
Sing it out.
We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is all.
We sing.
We sing hallelujah.
Sing it out.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is all. The Lamb is overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb,
sing it out.
We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome. The Lamb is overcome.
Let's sing forever, it's you and me.
Forever He is glorified.
Let's lift it up.
Forever He is lifted high. Forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Oh, Lord.
Yes, Lord, You are risen. You are alive. And we just declare that now. We just sing hallelujah to You, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Just want to declare what a beautiful name You are. That beautiful name of Jesus.
If you still feel that you'd like to come forward to be introduced to Jesus, you're very welcome. Very welcome.
You are the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, You brought heaven down.
My sin
was greater, love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is.
the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boasts of sin and rage. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. And you have no rival, and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is.
It sounds like a cliche, but all you need is 20 seconds of raw courage to give your life to the Lord. And I know that line comes from a film, but the Lord put it on my heart. And I just sense that there's somebody that's standing on the brink, and you've been standing on the brink for a long time. And in your heart, you've already crossed over. You already know Jesus. And the Lord is just encouraging you